Welcome to Open Studio, a program where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. Talk to any musician, and they will happily tell you stories about their career, the ups and downs, memorable performances, and performances they would like to forget. But what about the instruments themselves that they play, the very objects that allow them to express the music on the page for our enjoyment? Do those instruments have stories of their own? Our guests today are here to talk about a very sacred collection of instruments and the stories they have. I'm speaking with John Nardolillo, music director and conductor of the University of Kentucky Symphony Orchestra, and Avshi Weinstein, violin maker and co-founder and curator of Violins of Hope, a traveling exhibit that is coming to the UK campus February 10th through 14th. Its visit will feature a variety of events that our guests will tell us about. So welcome John, who is here in the studio, and Avshi, who is joining us via Zoom.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you, Tom.
Well, I could attempt to summarize what Violins of Hope is, but I'd rather have you all do it. So can you all, Avshi, can you tell us what it is?
So Violins of Hope is a collection of instruments, mainly violins, as you can understand from its name, of that belonged to Jews and not Jews during the war. And some cases the owners survived, some cases unfortunately they didn't. Many of those instruments are telling stories of individual people or families who survived, and this is how we keep their memories still here with us, through the instrument, the music, and the history.
How many instruments are in that collection?
We have about 100 instruments today.
Wow.
And we'll have just over 70 in Kentucky.
Each of the instruments in the collection has a story that is about the person who owned it and played it, and about what their life was and what happened in their life. And as Avshi said, some of the people who owned the violins ended up in concentration camps. Some of the violins were played in the concentration camps. In some cases, the player, the owner of the instrument, survived, and the instrument was the only thing they had after the war, the Second World War. In many cases, the player did not survive, but the instrument did. I think what's incredibly beautiful about this project that Avshi and his family have put together is that the instruments are playing and singing again. So they're coming to Kentucky, this collection of beautiful instruments that have been restored, and they'll be exhibited in the Art Museum at UK, and there'll be conversations and lectures. But then, at the end of the week, the end of next week, UK symphony players will play a concert on them, and every violinist in the UK symphony will be playing one of the instruments.
Wow.
And every piece on the program as a violin solo featuring one of the instruments. And so it's not just to see the historic instruments, but to play music on them, which is what they're for.
Can you explain the process that you use, Avshi, to track down and verify an instrument's story, finding out who it belonged to, even the relationship the person had with the instrument? Were they a casual musician? Were they a professional musician, soloist, ensemble player? What is your process?
So most of the instruments we get from the families. Sometimes we are lucky enough to get it from the actual owner who played them. And they tell us the story.
I'm sure you've been asked this a million times, Avshi, but of the stories you've discovered in the history of these instruments, is there one that stands out? One that, like, whenever anyone asks you that question, pops immediately to your mind?
There are so many different stories of people that it's really, really hard to say, you know, whose stories is more important than someone else's. I think it's about a year ago, I did a few projects around the New Jersey area. And the woman told me later that her mother was a survivor. She never ever talked about it. And they attended one of the concerts, and she said that After the concert, she saw her mother talking to a bunch of people whom she never met. And she just came very close to hear what she's saying. It was the first time she heard her mother talk about what happened to her and her family during the war. She never ever spoke about it before that day. And going to that concert changed something, and here she was talking about it.
John, I want to give you a chance to talk about, you've talked about the concert on, and certainly I would love for you to mention it again, but what other activities are going on during the time that the exhibit's going to be here in Lexington?
So while the exhibit is here next week, there's a film about the Weinstein family and the project that the Kentucky Theater will be showing on Tuesday the 10th at 7:30. Avshi, who we're on this interview with, will be giving a lecture on Wednesday in the Singletary Recital Hall. That is free and open to the public. Some of the instruments will be on display in an exhibit at the UK Art Museum on Friday and Saturday, the 13th and 14th. That's also free and open to the public. And then on the concert, which is on Saturday the 14th at 8 p.m., we're going to be playing on the instruments, the UK Symphony. And the program for the concert on Saturday the 14th includes every piece on the program has a violin solo, which will be played by a soloist or by the concertmaster on one of the instruments. And all the violinists in the orchestra will play on an instrument. We're going to play two pieces by composers who wrote music at the Tiritsyn concentration camp and were killed in Auschwitz, Victor Ullmann and Pavel Haas. We're going to play the theme from Schindler's List by John Williams, written for Steven Spielberg's film and played in the film by Itzhak Perlman. And then we're going to play Mahler's Fourth Symphony, which is a musical depiction of a child's vision of paradise. So it's a beautiful and meaningful program for us and for our students and for our audience. And we're also in the concert going to talk about the instruments and the stories behind them that are on the stage. And if you come to the concert, you can also see the instruments that are on exhibit.
I understand they're going to be available for viewing for a brief amount of time after the concert. Is
yes.
that correct?
Yes. So if you come to the concert, you can see the instruments before the concert or after the concert. And Avshi will be talking before the concert as well.
And the film at the Kentucky Theater, that's a ticketed event, correct?
Yeah, I think it's just similar to going to the movie. You go to the Kentucky Theater and get a ticket. They're not expensive.
And Avshi, will you be doing a? I heard you're doing a post film talk, sort of a talk back after the. After
I tell
the
you honestly, this is one of the things my parents never understood the way I do things. They said, "So what's your daily schedule?" I said, "I have no idea." I go there. They tell me what to do. They know I can't be in two places in the same time. So yeah, probably I'm going to do it. Yeah, I'll be more than happy to do it. But John, you forgot to mention one very important thing. We are going to go to two or three different schools every day during next week to talk to them about the instruments, about the Holocaust, and to give lectures in, I think, 8 or 10 different schools, if I remember correct.
Yeah, I am sorry. You're right. I did forget that. We are taking students from the UK Symphony and Avshi and going to 11 different schools in Fayette County in Lexington to talk about the instruments. We're taking instruments with us, and the students will play on the instruments. We're going to play and talk to more than 2,000 students about this project. So that's obviously a really important part of the project.
And what Avshi, I assume that you do this, you visit schools quite a bit. What is the general reaction that you get from students?
It's really, really very different because when you have a very big group, and I've done groups up to 900 kids, so it's a little bit different, but usually they don't, this is not something that many people know, music during the war. I mean, they would know a little bit about the war, the Holocaust, but most of them would not have any idea about the music and the role of music during the war. Also grown-ups, not many people knows that there were so many different orchestras. I mean, Auschwitz had about 7 or 8 different orchestras in the camps. And many other concentration camps had orchestras and music, and there was lots of music in the ghettos. And this is kind of an unknown part of the war. I mean, it's known, but it's not that much known like many, many other things which happened.
Yeah, I think that's right. When we're talking about the Holocaust, when you start thinking about what happened, and I think you get stuck and you get stopped on the sort of immediate human horror of it, or the stories of people who overcame it and the optimism or determination, hopefulness, resistance of it. So I think Avshi's right. We don't often think about what's beyond that.
In this case, this story of this collection of instruments and their stories.
Yeah, the sort of lives of the people during this period beyond the immediacy of the fundamental, you know, human thing that happened.
How can people learn more about Violins of Hope's visit to UK?
So if you go to the College of Fine Arts page at the University of Kentucky, there's a page that has all the information. You can also go to the Singletary Center website, where you can find links to different events, especially the concerts and the lectures are there, even though those are open and free to the public. When you go look for concert tickets, make sure you're on the Singletary webpage, because there are some bots selling overpriced tickets to this concert.
And you can access that at singletarycenter.com.
Singletarycenter.com, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you, John Nardalillo, music director and conductor of the UK Symphony Orchestra, and Avshi Weinstein, co-founder of Violins of Hope, for joining me today. And we look forward to the activities of next week, February 10th through 14th, culminating with the UK Symphony's performance on the 14th.
Thank you for having us. I can't wait to see you all at the concert.
Thank you very much, Tom. I hope to see you next week.
Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.